Okay, it is now 4 p.m. on the dot, and I gavel this meeting into order, mainly the control of the vast crowd in the MPC meeting room. I welcome you all, and do I have a motion to approve the meeting minutes of August 6th?
This is Sean. I make a motion to approve the meeting minutes from August 6th.
Is there a second?
This is Christopher. I second.
Okay, motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Being none, all those in favor signify by saying aye and identify yourself, please.
Hi, this is
Sean. Sorry, Lisa.
Okay, this is Lisa Watson. Aye.
Okay. Christopher?
Aye. It's Christopher. Aye.
And Lisa's done it. And Sean?
This is Sean. Vote aye.
Okay, and how about, is Tom here?
Yes, I'm here. This is Tom Gensheimer. I agree. Aye.
Aye. Okay. All those opposed? Well, there's no one to oppose, so meeting is approved. Let's go to the regular agenda. And we have a review of and recommendations of the City Council regarding the Civil War Memorial Task Force final report. This is the task force that was once called the Confederate Monument Task Force. They've changed their name. And we're fortunate to have electronically, at least, Luciana Spraker, to give us a report on that.
Hi, how are you all? It's nice to be with you. Thank you. Okay, show my screen. Let's see. I've never used this system, so. Oh, okay. Can you all see that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes.
So I'm going to be showing you the same presentation I gave to City Council on October 8th. This was the task force turned in a final report on October 1st. And so this was the next step was to give a briefing to City Council. So I served as the staff liaison to the Civil War Memorial Task Force. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the director of the Municipal Archives for the city. So I was the staff liaison both with the task force when they were first set up in 2017 and then when they reconvened this summer in 2020. So this is just a very brief summary of the task force's work and their unanimous recommendations that they have made for council's consideration. And I believe that you all should have gotten the full report that I sent to Leah. If not, we can make sure you get that after this meeting. So the Civil War Memorial Task Force is made up of local preservationists, historians, and both past and present administrators of various local monument and marker programs. It was first put together in 2017 after the events in Charlottesville, Virginia. And at that time, their task was to make simple and sensible recommendations about how to address ways to make our memorial here in Savannah more representative of Savannah's community while also preserving Savannah's unique history. We reconvened it this summer in light of the some things that we'll get into that we haven't been able to do here, but also with the movements going on nationwide. And specifically, we asked them to consider some supplementary signage for our memorial site. The task force in the second round met between June and September in a series of virtual meetings. And unfortunately, we had to do it virtual because of the pandemic. They, like before, had a very thoughtful and deliberative process. They reviewed the original recommendations that were approved by City Council in 2018, and I'll go over those in a moment. They both considered Savannah's memorial in context of current state laws. the broader national discussion of monuments that's been going on. We also kept an eye towards this memorial's specific history and narrative. They explored a range of options and weighed the pros and cons of each of those options. The task force felt that it was very important that they acknowledge that the process that they went through this time, preparing the additional recommendations, did not include additional public engagement on their part. So they suggested as part of their final report, additional steps that council and the city should undertake before final adoption. So that included staff briefing council, which we did on October 8th, city council engaging their constituents through town hall meetings, and the city launching an online survey to gather citizen feedback. And when we did this presentation for city council, council specifically asked that the next step be for sites and monuments to weigh in. So that's why I'm here today to do this for you. Before I give you their new recommendations, these were the original recommendations. The task force submitted them in December of 2017, and City Council approved them in February 2018. So there were eight. The first was to rename it from the Confederate Monument to the Civil War Memorial, to preserve all historical material on the memorial, and that is the central large memorial in the center of the site, and we'll see a picture of that in a minute. There are two blank panels on that central memorial. They propose to install a new bronze plaque on the blank horizontal panel on the south side with the text, "This memorial was originally erected in 1875 to the Confederate dead, redesigned in 1879, and rededicated in 2018 to all the dead of the American Civil War." Number four, they proposed to not to alter the blank vertical panel on the south side of the memorial. And the reason they said not to alter it was to leave it available to future generations who may want to alter it or add something to it, with the recognition that this monument had already been redesigned in 1879 to meet changing needs. We were now making changes to reflect our community today, and there may be needs in the future to alter the memorial again. Number five, to relocate the McClaws and Bartow monuments to Laurel Grove North Cemetery. Number six, not to replace anything on the site where those monuments were moved. To preserve the fence around the memorial in the current elliptical shape. And number eight, that the community expands the story of the Civil War, its causes, and its effects throughout Savannah, other than at Forsyth Park at the memorial site. So council approved these recommendations unanimously, but with the requirement that the city attorney provide a legal opinion as whether or not we could legally move forward with them. So staff formed a implementation group to start moving forward with them. But we had to wait for the city attorney's legal opinion, which we finally received in November of 2018, which told us that we could not move forward with number three, which was to install the bronze plaque, or number five, which was to relocate the Bartow and McClaws monuments to Laurel Grove North Cemetery. And it kind of just put everything on hold. So what happened is we get to 2020, and this summer we see a lot going on across the nation, and we also start seeing vandalism occurring in Forsyth Park and Laurel Grove North Cemetery. So staff met, and we also then decided to reconvene the task force, and we did this specifically to ask them to consider interpretive signage that we could put at the memorial site. The attorney told us we could put signage as long as it was outside of the fence line and did not touch the fence. So the task force began the work by reviewing all of the original recommendations. And they decided they all were still valid with the exception of number five. And in light of what's been going on at the cemetery, they no longer feel that they can support this recommendation. So they are advising City Council to revise that recommendation. And their revised recommendation is to, once the city feels that they can legally relocate the bus, that they remove the McClaws and Bartow monuments and place them in storage until such time as the City of Savannah can identify a proper location for them. Then they made a series of brand new recommendations. They have four new recommendations. The first supports their original recommendation to rename the memorial to the Civil War Memorial. So the new recommendation says, the City of Savannah consistently referred to the memorial as the Civil War Memorial in all city communications, including the city website and official documents. The task force realizes this is basically a change in our culture and our way of doing business, and that the city needs to set the precedent by calling this the Civil War Memorial. So the task force started this by renaming themselves from the Confederate Memorial Task Force to the Civil War Memorial Task Force, and referring to the memorial as the Civil War Memorial throughout its report and recommendations. And I myself have been working hard to start using the name Civil War Memorial as well. Their second new recommendation is to include the amendment of Georgia state laws preventing local governments from altering and or removing monuments and memorials that no longer serve the needs of their constituents to the 2021 City of Savannah legislative agenda. They discussed that this power should relate to all monuments and memorials. So the language of their recommendation does not specify specifically address military or Civil War monuments. It's left more open. Currently, we're not restricted, or we have the power to put up and alter everything else. They feel that this should not be limited in any way, that communities should make those decisions about what they put up, also about what they move, alter, take down, and that should be a local home rule. They were, of course, as I mentioned, originally asked to make recommendations on interpretive signage, and this is where they spent the most of their discussions. They really, talked about doing very in-depth signage about the history of the memorial, about the history of Civil War in Savannah, went back and forth on a lot of different ideas and concepts. And in the end, they proposed signage that was much more simple and supported their original recommendation. So again, that original recommendation was a bronze plaque on the monument. So their recommendation now is to install one interpretive sign that would be mounted in the ground outside the memorial fence line, with a panel that incorporates a pictorial timeline of the memorial site. And these are the pictures they've selected. So they showed the memorial as it was first erected with the Statues of Silence and Judgment, then a picture of the memorial after it was altered and the statues removed and the Confederate soldier added, and then a picture of the bus when they were located in Chippewa Square to show that there is a history of these bus moving as they needed to meet the needs of the community. So the three pictures, and then the text that would show what is going on with this site right now. So the text reads, in 2018, the City of Savannah approved the relocation of the two bus moved here from Chippewa Square in 1910 from the memorial's grounds, and the placement of a new plaque on the memorial that states, this memorial was originally erected in 1875 to the Confederate dead, redesigned in 1879, and rededicated in 2018 to all the dead of the American Civil War. A Georgia state law, strengthened in 2019, currently prevents the city from taking these actions. The proposed style of the signage, which is discussed in detail in the full report, lends itself to be updated very easily as the situation changes. So state law changes and the city is able to install the bronze plaque on the monument, or if the community decides they no longer like this signage outside of the fence, the panel can be swapped out for something else very easily. And the final new recommendation supports the original recommendation to expand the story of Civil War in Savannah, but in a more proactive and inclusive way. So the new recommendation is that the Savannah City Council establish a permanent culture, history, and education committee with a rotating membership comprised of citizens representing Savannah's six districts, in addition to experts in the fields of education, tourism, and history. The committee would advise city leadership and staff on ways to expand Savannah's understanding and interpretation of all the city's history, especially related to the experiences of American Blacks, Native Americans, and women. This would be done through new static and living memorials, as well as public engagement, outreach, education, and discussion of that history in new, dynamic, and meaningful ways. The task force felt that this work was outside their purview, a much larger task, and needed ongoing dialogue with a much larger representation of the community. The intent of the 2020 recommendations are to reinforce those approved by City Council in 2018 within the current confines of state law. Like those approved in 2018, the new recommendations are in keeping with the spirit of Savannah's dedication to preservation and history. The recommendations address Savannah's Civil War Memorial and the memorial's history, not the history of the Civil War in general. The new recommendations are presented as individual items and can be approved individually, but the task force believes that collectively they are the best solution right now. The City Council again has asked for Historic Sites and Monuments Commission to weigh in on the task force's recommendation to help guide them as they move forward in their consideration. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Okay, anyone with any questions? I'm thinking, do I need to vote for this, Ryan? For these, okay. If not sort of an objection, I was thinking of, for the sake of saving time, I'll be calling each board member by name, and you'll have 5 minutes to speak. We will then open the for public discussion, and each member of the public will have 5 minutes to speak. And then after the public comment, we'll allow for the board and the speaker's responses. Does that sound fair to you all?
Mr. Chairman, this is Sean. Just with a point of clarification, under the 5 minutes, does that include if, for instance, a board member has a question for Luciana, does that 5 minutes also include whatever time span that Luciana has as well? It's more so a semantic point of question.
Just a
point of clarification, excuse me.
Well, why don't we start with quick questions and then go into discussion? Is that okay?
I just wanted to make sure I knew where my 5 minutes would go. So thank you.
It will be liberally timed. Any other points people would like to make on this procedure?
Mr. Chairman, this is Christopher. I just, first of all, if I could just briefly, I wanted to thank Luciana for doing this presentation. I was I saw the presentation that was done to City Council in their workshop, and I thought it was very well researched and well thought out. And I also appreciate Luciana your work in the history of Forsyth Park that you also sent us that wasn't mentioned in this presentation, but I hope that the rest of the board got that report. It's really important. Luciana, I'm not sure if you what the name of that report was or how to refer to that. I don't have it in front of me.
Okay, so I sent the task force's additional recommendations final report. And as part of that report, there's a history context section, and they had asked for background on the segregation and desegregation of Forsyth Park. And so in doing that research, there was sort of a, it was a, ended up being a larger research project about segregation and just Savannah's parks in general. So I think the document is called like Segregation and Desegregation in Savannah's Public Parks.
Well, I really appreciate that research. It really helped. It was helpful to me to understand it as well. Okay. So I just wanted to say thank you for that. Mr. Chairman, I want to ask, I don't want to take up too much of my 5 minutes here, but I sent before this meeting, I sent the law that governs this to Ryan, and I'm not going to go through the entire law, but I think it's really, really important for everyone on this board and all, everyone listening, and for it to be a matter of public record, what the law actually says, because there is a lot of misinformation and confusion, including on city council. And I'm not, this isn't a blame or anything. I just don't, it is very clear to me, because I've been neck deep in this, that there are elected officials that don't know what this law actually is. So if I don't know if I should bring this up now, but I think it's really important that I just point out a couple of things in the law that specifically relates to what we're going to talk about.
If you'd like, Chris, after we go through the discussion for this, I have included that on the agenda. So after we're through with this situation with Luciana and the Civil War Memorial Task Force, we can talk about that if you'd like.
Okay. I didn't want to leapfrog over anything, but I wanted, the reason I'm bringing it up, Mr. Chairman, is that I wanted to preclude any like kind of too much back and forth about what the law actually is, because it's pretty clear. And I mean, there's certain things that just cannot be done. The movement of those bus to Laurel Grove Cemetery is legal, can't be done. That we shouldn't even discuss that, because it's outside of state law. And there's a few other things that are just that pertain to this that just it might save us. I guess I'm saying that to get, it might save us some back and forth questioning. So I leave that up to you to how to address that.
Well, Christopher, when my understanding was that the law says they can't these monuments or memorials, these busts, I guess is a better term, cannot be moved to grave sites, their grave sites, or other sites honoring them.
Or so that's kind of what I wanted to point out in the law. So it is specifically prohibited that they cannot be moved to cemeteries, mausoleums, or museums. Now, yeah. there is a provision in the law. It says due to the preservation and protection that their relocation should not be prohibited. It says shall not be prohibited.
Yeah.
So there, yeah. I don't want to split hairs too much, but I think there's some misunderstanding about what can and can't be done. And with all due respect, I've spoken with the city attorney, Bates Lovett. He's an awesome guy. He's been, you know, very straightforward with me. But with all due respect to the legal counsel that city council is receiving, I respectfully would offer that not all of that is necessarily accurate, in my opinion. Not every lawyer has the same opinion, so that's why you get second opinions. Same thing with doctors. So I just want to put that out there, because there has been, I'm going to go ahead and I'll just, you can, you know, this is coming out of my 5 minutes. I'm not going to monologue here.
Well, but, okay, because your time is starting to run out. Ms. Okay. Spraker, would you have a response to that, a quick one?
So I am not the city's attorney. I will say that the task force makes their recommendation about the moving of the Bartow and McClaws monuments with the caveat when the city feels that they can legally move them, that's their recommendation. Because there is legal risk at this point in moving them. So if city council can make a decision moving them based on the advice they're getting from their legal representation. So,
just to be clear, the city is planning to move the busts?
They are not at this point. City attorney has advised them of the legal risk if they were to make that decision. So there's legally right now, the state law prohibits them. So if they were to do it, they would be opening themselves up to lawsuits.
So
So respectfully, not to interrupt, but respectfully, I disagree with that, and that's not necessarily true. The relocation of them, for instance, to put them into storage, there is nothing in that law that prohibits that. And in fact, there are other municipalities in the state of Georgia. I was talked at length with the city attorney of DeKalb County, and I've let the mayor and city council know about this as well. They have successfully relocated their Confederate monuments to storage without any legal repercussions. So there are legal avenues to do this. And that's why I'm saying that, you know, it's a matter of opinion, but with all due respect, there is absolutely a legal avenue to not remove them to the cemetery, but to put them into storage until there can be, as the law states, which is what I was going to point out, if the law states an equally sufficient, I don't know the language, but there are provisions in this law that allow the relocation to specific locations cannot be a cemetery, a mausoleum, or a museum. You can relocate them to other places without running afoul of state law. That's the point I kind of wanted to underline here, because I've been neck deep in this, and that it's.
Yeah. So Mr. Monroe is referring to provisions for preserve and protect. There are our city attorney, Mr. Lovett, discussed this during the council workshop. So you could listen to the council workshop to see what he told our council members in public workshop about this and about the risk. I think he also addressed the fact that each municipality is different, and there are different things that come into play and different outside parties that come into play. So what might be going on in DeKalb might be different than what's going on in Savannah. So I think, you know, you might want to watch the work session on October 8th just to hear what he advised them, because I can't speak for the city attorney's office in their opinion, and I wouldn't want to, but if you'd like to hear what he had to say during that work session, it was on October 8th, and I could send you the link to that if you'd like.
I'll leave it there. I mean, I was at that. I witnessed that. I would encourage the rest of our board to listen.
Okay. I'm going to just, like we do with this interesting format we have nowadays, I'm going to call on each member if they would like to address the issue here. Christopher, thank you. Sean, do you have any comments?
Yes, I do. And first off, I want to say, Christopher, I agree with a lot of what you just said, so I don't want to go over my time reiterating exactly what he said. First off, Luciana, I do have a question for you. As it pertains to city engagement, you had mentioned that one of the next three steps was city council was to engage their local constituents. What type, has there been any sort of timeline set forth for that? What type of engagement, so on and so forth?
So that was a recommendation of the task force that city council engage constituents through town hall meetings to gather feedback, which would be virtual town hall meetings. That's what they've been conducting since the pandemic started. The task force offered to assist with that if the members, the council members wanted that. And then they also recommended launching an online survey to gather feedback on the proposed recommendations. No timeline has been proposed, and City Council did not provide any feedback to staff in the work session at all about whether or not they wanted us to move forward on either of those things.
Okay, so just as a oversimplification, essentially really the city engagement of the constituents really rests in the hands of the respective city council members, and it's at his or her discretion as to how he or she would like to engage his or her constituents, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All right, now, next question. And if you don't mind, could you go back a few slides to where you get to updated recommendation number 11? Because I want to make sure I have it accurate.
Okay.
And okay. First off, thank you everyone for sending all of the documents well in advance, so that way I had a chance to read it through everything. It was very, very beneficial. So thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Luciana, for obviously putting this together. Thank you, Leah, as well, for just sending me an update to the city, to the Civil War email as well that you just sent. So since I'm very, very limited for time right now, I think I've got about 2 minutes left. My question about this one is where it kind of, and I don't want to go too much off of what Christopher had gone on to, but when it pertains to the sign mounted in the ground outside the memorial fence. So if I understand that correctly, you have the ground outside the racist, I mean, as it stands right now, the memorial to the Confederacy racist, you have the fence, and then there's essentially no green space, if you will, between the current pathway and the fence. Where exactly is this sign gonna go?
We would probably have to put it into the walkway. Yeah, the city attorney told us we can put it as close to the fence as possible as long as it does not touch the fence.
Okay, and it has to go outside of the fence, right?
That's right. And basically the fence and everything inside the fence is considered part of this memorial site as it is right now under the law as it's interpreted by the attorneys.
Interesting. I would also like to see what the thoughts and statements would apply to the Victory Drive memorial in between essentially Abercorn and almost down all the way to Skidaway, but that's a different story. And then my last statement that I would like to make is, although, yes, I understand the state law makes its comment about how no city or municipality is allowed to move these statues without the consent of the state government, I would like to commend Mayor Van Johnson on his previous acts when state law has said, no, you're not going to do something. I would just like to note the coronavirus executive order that Kent put into place where he said no city is going to put into place a mask ordinance. Mayor Van Johnson, I'll put it very succinctly, bring it on, instituting the mask ordinance. And that's why Savannah has a much lower COVID infection rate than anywhere else in the state. And we've continually done that. And I just, my gut instinct says, if the city wants these things moved out of its view, Mayor Johnson will tell Kemp the exact same thing all over again. So I say get rid of them. Don't even put them in the storage. Do what the Brits did. Throw them in the depths of the river. But if putting them in storage is where they want to go, fine. I think I'm out of time.
You are, but you're right on time. Thank you very much, Sean. I think he brought up an interesting point about the pandemic. Okay, let's see. We have next is Lisa.
Hi, thank you, Luciana. This was great. Christopher brought up things I was concerned about, so that has been talked about, and also Sean did too. I think preserve and protect is probably the main issue on these busts. I'm just wondering if how much it costs every time they get vandalized and who's responsible for that.
Is that a question for me?
Yeah.
They fall under our Greenscapes division, which was formerly Park and Tree, and so they do clean them each time. Yes.
Is that costing the city a lot of money?
Yes, the one time we were able to actually, through surveillance, identify who vandalized them. And so, you know, they were able to go after them for to recoup that money.
Oh, gosh, didn't know that. Okay, I think if you go to one slide towards the end.
That was that one?
Yeah, number 12. This is interesting. So is anything happening with this recommendation right now?
City Council hasn't adopted any of these recommendations yet.
Okay. Because I would love it if we could recommend at least to move forward on city engagements through survey. If we can all agree on that towards the end of the meeting. And that's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Tom, anything to add?
The only thing I can think I'd add, and I don't want to take up time, is if they can be moved, ultimately, I think that's the goal of probably what everyone would really want, despite the restrictions on state law that say they can't, or maybe Chris seems to think they still can. I wouldn't want them necessarily to be thrown in the river, because like everything, you know, what we think is, you know, how we interpret history at this moment in time may not be how we interpret history 100 years from now. They may have a historical value in some future time, but certainly at this moment, they are not really historically or socially acceptable to be where they are. The goal is to certainly move them. But I would say in storage someplace, and it sounds like, if I understand what Christopher is saying, that that is a legal possibility. But that's beyond, it seemed like beyond our determination, and you have to be a lawyer or some kind of politician to initiate that. But my question would really be, what is our role in this at this point, other than to hear these recommendations? I mean, I'm under the impression we have really no power or no really position to really do much of anything other than to give a nod. Is that what we're here for? Is that the intent? I mean, I'm glad to understand this and know it's relevant to our what we do. But I mean, this is all going to be decided by council and even beyond in that sense. So what is our place within this dialogue? It would be my question to anyone that can answer that. Okay, that's all I really have.
This is Luciana. City Council has actually specifically asked you to weigh in on these recommendations. So to whether you support these recommendations, whether you there's a recommendation you don't agree with, they have specifically asked the Sites and Monument Commission to weigh in on these recommendations.
Okay, well, that does answer my question. So, okay, good. I appreciate it.
Okay, this has been a good discussion. As far as I understand it, I suppose we could make our views known to the commission, council. But
should we have a public discussion? I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Say it again, please.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. Should we have public discussion before we go into that? Public comment, I'm sorry.
Yes, that's a good idea.
If anyone from the public wants to speak, please use the raise your hand feature. It should be on your screen somewhere.
Any members of the public wishing to raise their hand?
We do have one, Mr. Chairman. It's Artis Wood.
Oh, okay.
It shows you as unmuted, Artis. You're good to go.
We're having a little difficulty getting Ms. Wood. Ms. Wood, we seem to be having some technical difficulties. If you would like to type in, send an email to us, or even, as I understand it, you can type in something on our agenda. So,
Ms. Wood, there's a chat box section to the right on your screen. You can type your question in there, and we should be able to find it.
Okay, well, as soon as Ms. Wood can get on, we will interrupt whatever we're doing and address that.
We have no further public comment, though. There are no other hands raised.
Well, what we can do now is if someone has an idea about what we would like to do relative to the city council, they could make a motion to that effect and we could vote on it.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Go ahead, Chris.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Mr. Chairman, this is Sean. My recommendation is to I would like to make a motion to accept the majority of the recommendations from the Civil War Task Force with the amendment, caveat, whatever you want to call it, that says the city is to remove the bus with all deliberate haste, not waiting for anything else. I don't know how you want to word that.
Could you try rephrasing that?
Sean, this is Ryan. Would you want us to word it in a way where it's stating that with priority on that condition, on that one recommendation?
Yes, essentially making sure, and it's, because the recommendation, I can't remember exactly which number it was. It might have been 3, maybe? Revised number 5. So thank you, Luciana, for pulling this up. It would be to not wait until and place in storage until such. There was something about like they were going to wait until move them. But I think that they should be moved immediately and not wait for, just get rid of them. Like not wait for approval or whatever, something like that. Just put them into storage immediately.
May I make a suggestion on this, Sean? Why don't we use the phrase all deliberate speed?
Like I said, my verbiage was terrible and I am all perfectly good with all deliberate speed. And I like what you did there, Dr. Henry.
Thank you. I'm watching Jared hold his head in his hands.
We finally have Artis Wood's public comment. She was able to bring it into the chat. She just wanted to thank, I'm assuming the task force for their recommendation to still include the recommendation for removal of the McLaughlin Bartow Monument.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Woods. Okay.
Can I ask you a question?
I think we have an idea of how we want to proceed with Sean's motion. Is there, and if Sean, is it agreeable with you if we have the staff write this up and we vote on it for the final version of the next meeting?
Yeah.
Can I ask?
I'm assuming that somebody seconds it, but.
I ask a question?
People seem to be talking over each other. Were you speaking, Tom?
Yeah, I just wanted to point a clarification or question about what Sean is trying to propose. When you say they should be moved immediately and put in storage, is there, where is the storage? Is there a place that's going to accept these? Because I once talked to a museum person, they said they don't want these things. So storage is, something that does it exist for this to say we want to move and put in storage? Is there some kind of facilities or some kind of process that is this really going to happen? Is what I'm guess I'm saying. And how is it going to happen? I'm curious if that is a matter of something to consider.
If you'll give me 1 second, I believe we addressed this in the full report, and I'm just going to turn to that page really quickly. Each recommendation has a fuller explanation, and it was identified to, yes, city-owned storage. So the full recommendation is for them to be moved to city storage, so and still a city site, not to go somewhere that's not owned by the city. And we did identify, the city has already identified the locations, but we would not disclose what those locations are for security purposes.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful.
Yeah, that answers my question. So thank you very much.
Any other questions for Ms. Prager?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, this is Christopher. I have a comment on the last recommendation about the, I'm not sure about the verb, the language, about the group that was, yeah, there it is. A committee. So now I'm just going to throw this out there, and I'm curious to know what the other board members think. I mean, we don't have a lot to do on this board, and we have canceled the last few meetings because we didn't have anything. I would be interested to know what the other board members think of this. Now, this is something that could, I know this committee was formed at the state level, but I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the city council could expand the number of seats on this commission itself. And I would be interested to know if anyone would be amenable to this commission taking on this role, expanding the number of seats, expanding the diversity of this board, because we do need a more diverse board that includes the individuals, education, tourism, history, et cetera. But that seems like it could fit into the purview of this board, of this committee. It's just an idea.
It's a potentially good idea. And Alicia Blakely has never been replaced by the city. So maybe we should reserve this for the next meeting.
I think it's an idea. I'm not pushing hard for it, but it seems like it would be within the purview, and it could overlap with some of the things that we do in this commission.
Well, we haven't. I need a second on Sean's motion right now.
If I could comment on that, I mean, are we allowed to have a?
Well, let's have see if we have a second first, and then we can have a discussion.
Okay.
Is there a second? No second? Okay.
I think we need to reword it.
I agree.
Oh, I definitely agreed on the wording was not accurate, but.
I don't want to do writing a treatise during this meeting. I think we can ask staff to come up with an idea and we can debate that. Does that sound okay?
Well, with all due respect, Mr. Chairman, I don't want to make this more difficult, but I want to pump the brakes just a little bit if I could. Sure. I think this deserves some discussion. I mean, I know that, I've been neck deep in this, and I'm concerned. One of the things I wanted to say previously is I want to know how this is going to be presented to city council. If we're recommending something, I'm not completely personally comfortable with staff, but with all due respect to staff, I don't want to just weigh in on like their language. I'm actually really interested in some of this getting implemented, because we've been down this road already, and I really appreciate this task force reiterating these points. But like Sean said, I mean, this is something that should have been done. It could have been done. It can be done. And it should be done. It should be done immediately. We don't need to keep going over this and over this. And I'm interested personally in pushing a little harder on getting some actual action on this and not just saying, oh well, Historic Site and Monument Commission approved the recommendations. We're done. Oh, well. That doesn't appeal to me. And I'm not trying to be difficult about this, but I'm admittedly very, 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 very frustrated with the inaction of City Council on this. Now, there is support on City Council. It seems like there's an appetite to potentially do something. But since the ball is in our court right now and we are getting to weigh in on this, it's my personal, just as one member myself, I really would like to push a little harder. You may disagree, maybe Tom disagrees, Lisa, Sean, maybe we come to a consensus, but I'm balking a little bit at plowing through this and just saying, like, letting staff just write this up and we just.
Well, we can, I don't want to start writing now because
I agree. We won't do
a good job of it.
No,
we
I
don't have time. What we can do is if you'd rather write out a draft for us, that would be fine with me, and I hope with Sean as well.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be difficult about this, Mr. Chairman. I've been doing so much work
We're not in a position to write this now. We just simply don't have the time. The draft could be done outside of the meeting, and we could discuss
it. I understand. I would just like to there to be a reasonable consensus from everyone rather than just punting it to staff to write is all.
Well, would you like to write it?
Sure.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Tom. Was that, who was it?
It's Sean.
Sean, okay.
It's Sean. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Christopher, I completely agree with your sentiment. For lack of a term, let me quote, paraphrase Mayor Johnson, again, back from March. I think something needs to get done, and it needs to be done now. When the previous discussion we had at the Sites and Monuments Commission, I want to say it was like back in July or June or July timeframe, I was very, very adamant about getting it done and getting it done now to get rid of those two friggin' things. Again, I even gave a much cheaper solution of just dumping them in the river. But then I realized, oh, wait, that could actually damage the river and we don't want any more pollution. So grind them down to salt or whatever. But I agree, Christopher, that yes, we can't just keep, for lack of a term, punting this down the road. I am all for getting something done. That's why I flat out said, get rid of the statues as fast as possible. And thank you, Dr. Henry, for using the term, which honestly is very, very apropos in this situation with all deliberate speed. Now, it's interesting also that the recommendation 12 is currently on the screen. I also have some issue with the verbiage of this recommendation, but I don't want to sit there and play with all of those different semantics. But I mean, the Civil War was extremely brutal, not just during it, but even before it. I mean, there's an entire group of people that were literally ripped from their homeland.
Sure, excuse me. You have to wind this up a bit. We have a 5-minute rule.
Yeah, I agree with Christopher, and let's just get something done as fast as possible.
Okay, let me make a suggestion, if I may. Whoever wants to write a letter, prospectively to the City Council, write a letter, bring it to our next meeting, and we can hash it out and make it as a commission recommendation to the council. How does that sound?
Mr. Chairman, this is Christopher. I mean, again, I'm not trying to be more difficult about this, but that would be just delaying this again. I honestly, let me step back and say that I don't mind if there's a consensus on this board to just say we approve of these recommendations with an emphasis on relocating those bus to a storage facility until the city can find an appropriate legal place for it. I personally would be fine with that. You know, mess with the language however you want. I don't I don't want to belabor like writing a big letter or anything like that. So I don't want it to sound like I'm trying to make this more difficult than it should be. I guess my personal interest is removing those busts that we have discussed ad infinitum at this point, and something needs to be done about that. End of story, because somebody's going to go smash them, and then we're going to pull out our hair and say, why wasn't anything done about it? Well, we have the opportunity right now, and City Council has very graciously included us in the conversation, which they didn't last time. I want to use this platform to be able to push them a little bit and give them some backing. I'm more than happy to, you know, help however I can and not just pass the buck. I want to be a resource or however possible, but I guess I just want to put the emphasis on relocating those bus to a storage facility and whatever else. I mean, I agree with all the recommendations being made, and I don't want to belabor the writing of the letter or anything like that. So I don't want it to be like I'm trying to complicate things here.
I'm writing a draft here. And it's going to be very, very brief.
Chairman, may I speak?
Oh, yes, please do.
Maybe the wording, because I think we all agree on the task force recommendations, but we recommend to move the bust to storage at all deliberate speed to preserve and protect and prevent further damage due to vandalism.
That's great. I like that a lot, actually. This is Christopher.
Okay, I'm going to finish this. I'm going to put that phrase in.
If I could add, just while we're on the record, I mean, I think it's important to, you know, I'm very adamant about relocating those bus, but unlike Sean, and Sean, your point is well taken about throwing them to the river, but I think it's important to let the public know that this is being done to preserve and protect these things. So, you know, if they're left out there, they may be destroyed. That's the reality that we're facing right now. And I think that's why we need to act.
Okay, here's what I suggest. You know, we'll ask the staff to say it more politely, perhaps. The Monument Commission, respectfully and unanimously urge the City Council to remove the two busts of Confederate officers in Forsyth Park. To storage with all deliberate speed to prevent further vandalism.
If I could add, I think using the language to preserve and protect, because that is legally, that applies to the law. Yeah, that's language of the law. Like, and I think that's,
yeah. I like that, preserve and protect.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate you indulging me. I know that I'm a little passionate about this.
The chairman, at this point, someone needs to make a motion.
Let's get to what we're going to have a motion on first. We, the commission, respectfully and unanimously urge the City Council to remove the two busts of Confederate officers in Forsyth Park to storage with all deliberate speed to preserve and protect historic statuary. Okay. Anybody want to change that?
We should also, excuse me, Chairman, we should also make sure they know we agree with all of the additional recommendations as well.
Okay.
Yeah, that was going to be my only comment as well, Christopher. Although I think that in keeping with the recommendations presented by the task force, it should be stated, and please correct me, it should be stated the McClaws and
Barso
bust should be removed, not the Confederate general bust should be removed. Like, actually list the names of the busts which are listed in
I'm just
recommendations.
I can. Staff.
Yeah, I figured as much.
Yeah, I think using that language that Luciana brought up, this is Christopher, sorry. I mean, using that language, I think us being as consistent as possible across these platforms to use the same language is
okay. Let me read this to you again. we respect, and I'm going to ask the staff to polish it up a bit, but it won't change the message. They never do. They're very good at that. We respectfully and unanimously urge the city council to remove the two busts of Confederate officers putting in their names currently in Forsyth Park to storage with all deliberate speed to preserve and protect historic statuary. We agree and appreciate the revised task force recommendations. How does that sound to you?
Sounds good.
So just to make sure that I'm clear, the Confederate statues will not be mentioned in the letter. It'd just be McLaws and Bartow monuments.
In this draft, it's not mentioned. Do you want it mentioned?
No, I don't want the word Confederate statues used. I want exactly what Recommendation 5 says. At least this is my suggestion. Really, the only change to your verbiage, Dr. Henry, would be remove the McClaws and Bartow monuments with all deliberate speed.
Well, that's what it's going to say. That's what it's going to say.
Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind if I intercede for just a moment, the motion can't be made by you. It'll have to be made by one of the other board members.
Oh, I know. I understand. Yeah.
They can be the ones who state it fully the way that they would like.
Okay.
And then staff will write it as such as they state it.
First of all, I have to ask if there is a motion to do this. Send this letter.
This is Christopher. I so moved.
This is Sean. I second Christopher's motion.
Christopher, could you be very specific and state the motion fully so that it is you stating it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm sorry. I'm not trying to belabor this, but I'm trying to wrap my head around how this is actually going to be presented to City Council and how we're formatting this. So we are sending. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. We're formatting a letter, and this letter is going to be sent to City Council. Is that correct? That's pretty straightforward.
That's right. I would be personally more comfortable if we voted on it now and we saw it before. We can do it by email, and everyone saw it before we sent it to City Council.
Okay.
Is there a second?
So I'll restate the motion if that makes sense.
I think you have to say more than that.
You'll have to state the full motion.
Okay. So I move that the Historic Site and Monument Commission send a letter to City Council approving the revised recommendations of the Civil War Memorial Task Force, with the emphasis on removing the McLaws and Bartow monuments and placing them in storage until such time as the city of Savannah can identify a proper location for them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. Is there a second?
I would, the only edit I would make to that is to tack on the phrase, with all deliberate speed.
Okay, so I'll rephrase it.
Or leave it or omit it.
I'll rephrase the motion. So I move that we, as the Historic Site and Monument Commission, approve the revised recommendations of the Civil War Memorial Task Force, and with emphasis on removing the McLaws and Bartow monuments and placing them in storage until such time as the city of Savannah can identify a proper location for them with all deliberate speed. Does that make more sense?
I second.
Okay, I think we also someone suggested that we agree and appreciate the revised task force recommendations.
That was his beginning.
That was his portion.
I did. So I'll restate it one more time. I feel you. I want to be clear about this. I'm on board here. Let me try it one more time. So I move that the Historic Site and Monument Commission approve the revised recommendations of the Civil War Memorial Task Force with appreciation, with emphasis on removing the McLaws and Bartow monuments and placing them in storage until such time as the city of Savannah can identify a proper location for them with all deliberate speed. that acceptable?
Okay, we might want to put all deliberate speeds a little earlier, but that's fine. Okay, is there a second to the motion?
This is Sean. I second that motion.
Okay, any discussion? Being none, all those in favor signify by saying, well, I have to go through the names on this. Christopher, I assume you're in favor.
I'm sorry. I'm going to revise this because Lisa just texted me, and we need to include the language of preserving and protecting. I am belaboring this.
Vote on
you've
this
already.
Motion.
Yeah, you've already seconded this one. You're going to have to do an amendment. Someone's going to have to amend it.
Okay.
I would like to make an amendment to the motion. This is Sean. I would like to make a motion, an amendment to the motion to include the verbiage to preserve and to protect. Whatever.
Do we have this motion down first before we can do that?
You can vote. They'll have to vote on Sean's amendment and then move on to voting to the amended motion.
Okay. Is there a second to Sean's amendment?
I'll second that.
Being none, all those in favor, Christopher, how do you vote?
This is Christopher, aye.
Sean?
Aye.
Lisa?
Aye.
Tom?
Aye.
Okay, unanimous.
And now you'll vote on the original motion.
We now have an amended motion incorporating the latest emendation. Do I hear a motion to accept?
This is Christopher, so moved.
This is Sean, I second.
Okay, motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion? Being none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Christopher?
Aye.
Sean?
Aye.
Lisa?
Aye.
And Tom?
Aye.
Okay, unanimous. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for your perseverance on that.
Well, I struggled through it.
Thank you, everyone, for helping with the verbiage.
I couldn't understand you, Sean.
I was just saying thank you, everyone, for helping with the verbiage.
Yeah, it was a team effort. That's a good point.
Thank you, Luciana.
I don't want to forget Lisa over there either.
Thank you, Luciana.
Yes, thank you, Ms. Baker. I appreciate you clarifying so much.
Thank you, Ryan.
Your meeting. Do I get
okay,
out?
I think we're ready to move on to item three of the regular agenda. Robert's Rule of Order workshop with Pamela Everett.
I think you wanted to discuss the Senate bill before we went to item three.
I'm not sure I understood your question.
I understood that one of the board members wanted to discuss Senate Bill 77 before we moved into the discussion on Robert's Rules.
Okay, I don't recall that. Did anyone want to do that?
This is Christopher. I brought that up, but we can forgo that. I think I made my point. If there's anybody needs clarification, I sent the thank you for that, by the way, but I did send a copy of that. It's only a few paragraphs long. I would encourage the rest of the board to just read through that law so everybody knows exactly what the law says. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Christopher. Okay, Ms. Everett, would you like to present?
Yes, I would. Thank you, board. I guess this is really an appropriate time to talk about Robert's Rules. Basically, this board has always followed Robert's Rules as it's gone through its meetings. And the purpose of Robert's Rules, of course, is to have parliamentary procedures in place. And that's one, to ensure an orderly flow of the meeting, to tell you what to do and how to do it, and also establish a hierarchy of persons who run the meeting. And that means the chairman actually facilitates the meeting. And it's all to ensure that the board only considers the matters that are on the agenda, that you consider those matters one at a time, and that you make a decision on those matters after consideration. basically what Robert's Rules sets forth is that a board can only act during a called public meeting that's noticed and only when there's a quorum. It also establishes that the board should have an agenda for the meeting, as you always do, and that you consider those items that are on the agenda, that you discuss them, that you make a motion, and that you vote on them. What I've provided here is I kind of searched the internet for a cheat sheet because Robert's Rules itself is about 700 pages and pretty difficult to follow and understand. So I got this cheat sheet, and we also have another document for the board that some of the other boards use, but it's about 7 pages long. And again, I thought this was easy because it talks about the types of motions that the boards make and also how to make them and the steps that you need to take. I went through and I looked at the ones that this board typically deals with, and that's the first one, the main motion. And that's when you have an item on the agenda and it's a new item. The chairman introduces that item, and then someone makes, you discuss it, and then someone makes a motion to either approve or disapprove. And basically, with the main motion, you basically say, I move to, and you go ahead and you present whatever it is that you want to approve or disapprove. When the person is making that motion, they should not be interrupted. They should have the ability to go ahead and complete their thought or their sentence so that everyone understands what the motion is. That motion then needs a second, and then that motion needs to be debated. If there is a main motion that someone wants to amend, which actually happened in this instance, you go ahead and then you say, after the person has made the motion, I move to amend the motion by, and then you state how you wish to amend that motion. That speaker also should not be interrupted. That motion also needs a second. You can also debate it, and then you can also discuss it. The board should not be texting one another about amending motions. There should actually be some discussion. So you want to talk about it in public since this is a public meeting.
Noted.
Okay. And of course, on a main motion, we need to have a majority vote on it. And also on a motion to amend, we need to have a majority motion. Now, for example, if there is a main motion where someone motions to approve something on the agenda and there's no second, that motion dies for lack of a second. So it can then either someone else can bring it up and make a new motion, or you can table it for another agenda, or it simply dies and it's not considered. But typically, because of the way your board is structured, you have to act on every matter that's before you. So if it dies for a second, someone needs to make a second motion. The other motion that, Julie, can you go down to the second page? Because I can't control the, okay, here we are. The other motion that this board would deal with maybe a motion to postpone an item. And that's where, for example, if you were not ready to deal with the matter today with regard to the monuments, someone could have made a motion to postpone it. And what you do is you postpone it to a date certain. That motion also needs a second. That also needs to be debated. The only difference is you can't amend that motion. The motion to postpone has to be whatever it is. So we make a motion to move it to the next meeting, and that would be the motion, and that's what would be approved. There may be times the other motion that someone could make is a motion to end the debate. Say, for example, with today's debate, if someone had gotten to the point where they decided they had heard enough argument on the motion, they could have said, I move to end the debate, or I move to the previous question. And so that would need a second as well. And you can debate that, can't amend that. And then you need a majority vote. Let's see, the other motion that this board would probably make was a motion to object to the procedure that's being done, and that's called a point of order. That's what you would say, point of order. And you don't need a second to that. And what that basically says is that ceases all discussion on the motion, and it calls the board to go back to whatever's on the agenda that was being discussed and to vote on that particular question. The other one that this board I've noticed has used previously is to recess, and you've taken the quick recess, and that's one again that you make a motion to recess the meeting to a time certain. Typically it may be that we're recessing the meeting for 10 or 15 minutes. That also needs a second. There's no need to debate it, and there needs also to be a majority vote on that one. The other is, of course, to recess the meeting. I'm sorry, to adjourn the meeting. And it's funny because most of us don't ever vote on that, but Robert's Rules does require us to make a motion for adjournment. There is no debate. There has to be a second and then a majority vote to adjourn the meeting. Two other things that we've dealt with would be, one, a motion to enforce the rules or to point out an incorrect procedure, and that's typically made by the chairman, and he would call for a point of order, and that would be, you know, I'm calling for us to follow the rules, which is to stay in accordance with the agenda and just discuss the item that we were discussing. So that would be one. The other that we have dealt with would be the motion to reconsider. That one has come up previously, and basically what happens on the motion to reconsider is when you're seeking to review a matter that you previously disposed of during the meeting and to vote on it again. So basically what would happen, say for example on this one, if someone on the board decided that they didn't like what happened on that particular, or you had rejected the motion, I apologize, rejected to vote no on the item, someone could bring it up and say, I'd like to reconsider it. And a motion to reconsider must be made on the same day, and it allows you to debate whether or not to overturn that decision during the meeting that's in progress. Any committee member can make that motion to reconsider, and any committee member can second the motion. The motion is debatable, but it cannot be amended, and the majority vote of the committee is required for the motion to pass. If it's passed, the original decision is voided, and the committee can return to debate and revote the original motion. And I do believe this board has also, and it's not on here, would be a motion to rescind. And what a motion to rescind is to rescind an action that was passed at a previous meeting. The motion to rescind can be introduced at a time when there's no other business pending. You have to make an announcement of the intention to rescind the motion, or you can place the matter on the agenda for the next meeting. It will then be placed on, I apologize, I hope everybody can still hear me. It's telling me that I'm having.
No, we can hear you.
Internet connections, okay, no problem. Yeah, it's popping up, so I want to make sure. The motion to rescind will be placed on the next agenda. At the next meeting, the motion to rescind will be formally made, and it can be made by any committee member. The motion should include a description of the decision that was in question. Say, for example, I know you've made one previously where you denied a petition and you brought it back you rescinded that denial. So that would be the motion that would have been brought forward. The motion will second. The chair will restate the motion to rescind, and then he'll ask for debate. Everyone will get an opportunity to debate it and propose any amendments to the motion. then a majority of the committee is required for the motion to pass. And if the motion to rescind is passed, the original decision will be voided. So I think those are the motions that the majority of the motions that this board will make. Does anybody have any questions or concerns that I can address regarding Robert's Rules of Order? I wanted to make it short and sweet because you guys, as I said, have pretty much been following the rules. And I wanted to ensure that I provided you the information that you needed.
Any questions from Ms. Eppert?
Oh, this is Christopher. I just wanted to say thank you for, I mean, I'm still learning Robert's Rules. I have the book, but it doesn't all stick unless you use it. So this was personally helpful for me. So okay. I appreciate it.
And Robert's Rules is really difficult. I have the book, and then I also have a smaller book that kind of breaks it down. And then, of course, we have our cheat sheet, which really helps because it makes it easy for you to follow the steps.
The cheat sheet was very helpful. I appreciate it.
This is Sean. I also want to reiterate Christopher's statement about thank you. And the cheat sheet has been extremely helpful on the other commission that I sit on, the Park and Tree Commission. Not so much right now, but in years past, that cheat sheet was a godsend, for lack of a better term.
Good.
So thank you.
Good. You're welcome. You're welcome. And again, and I'll send the other document to Leah for her to distribute to the board. But again, it's about 7 pages, and it also goes through the steps and the procedures. But again, the cheat sheet is much easier because you can just look at it. Talks about, you know, you make your motion, you second, you restate the motion, you do your debate, and then you vote, and he announces the vote, which is perfect.
Any other comments or questions? I'd like to add my own, I've chaired a lot of meetings, some of them more aptly than others. And I wish I'd had this, I'll tell you. This is very well done, best I've ever seen.
Okay. Good. As I said, I searched the internet trying to find something that was really simple, and this was one of the most simple that I found.
It's very well done.
Great. I'll send that comment to the person who drafted it.
Okay. Yeah. And my compliments, please.
I think this is the exact same cheat sheet that I use also.
Okay, great. Oh, the other thing I did want to talk about with regard for the board was ex parte communications and not talking to applicants. This board can only act and should only act in a called meeting. You should not be talking to applicants outside of the meeting or having what they call as ex parte communications, which means you're having discussions related to an application with someone outside of the meeting. So please be very careful about that. Make sure that you don't talk to applicants about what's coming up on the agenda. It should only be discussed at the meeting because the meeting does give you or afford you the opportunity to talk to applicants at that point. So just wanted to remind everybody of that.
This is Christopher. I thank you for saying that. I do get actually approached by people, and I want to make sure I'm adhering to everything. So I appreciate you pointing that out.
Yes, you can just tell them, I'm sorry, I can't talk about that. That'll be addressed at the meeting. If you have any information that you'd like to present to the board, have it sent to one of the staff members, and they will ensure that it gets on the agenda.
Yeah, I understand. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I can see how that's actually been maybe an issue in some cases. But I have another question. What about ex parte communication between board members outside of an actual meeting? Is that also off limits?
You really shouldn't be talking about agenda items until the meeting.
Until the meeting. Not even before the meeting, or it has to be officially during the meeting time when it's recorded and everybody hears it. And it's
correct. Or I know there are some boards that have pre-meetings, and during the pre-meetings, you have the opportunity, of course, to talk to one another and to also talk about whatever's on the agenda. This board doesn't do pre-meetings.
Hmm.
And also, you shouldn't text each other during the meetings. You should actually talk so that everybody hears what's going on.
Understood. Thank you.
Okay, that's very interesting.
Any further questions?
Yeah, thank you. This is Lisa. Sorry I text. I really honestly have a hard time getting my word in this way. It was much easier when we were all looking at each other.
Looking at each other, it is. I guess you could also use the raise your hand feature so that they can see you as well.
I don't see that. I really don't see raise your hand.
The board members are panelists.
The panelists, I'm sorry.
Don't have to raise your hand.
They don't have it. I apologize, you don't.
Yeah, okay. But that's interesting because I'm also approached frequently, and I last week went to look at trying to find the application to help somebody. This is how you apply. And I had a really, honestly, kind of a hard time finding it. So at least I can say, here's how you, this is where you go to apply.
You can, or you can direct them to someone on staff.
Okay. All right.
That's a good question. Yeah. Sorry, this is Christopher. I appreciate you bringing that up, Lisa. So your recommendation would be for us not to even point them in the direction of the application, even to just give them.
You can tell them. You can give them the email address. You can give them the email site, then tell them if they have questions, you can direct them to staff to answer those questions.
Okay, because I have sent a link to the application before to people, so I will revise my behavior accordingly.
Yes. We also need to make sure that no one is speaking without the chair recognizing them. So, Watson, the way you could have gotten is to ask the chair to recognize you when the last person finished speaking.
Okay.
Any other comments or questions? Being none, we thank you.
You're welcome.
It certainly is a big help to me on what you presented here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Let's go to the presentation, number four, the presentation of Master Plan Guidelines Update with Ryan Charles.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's good to finally hear everybody again. It's been quite a while. So I, as you may remember, the Site and Monument Commission's Master Plan and Guidelines document has not been updated since 2013. So a while back, you all requested that we begin the arduous process of going through and cleaning up and updating the entire document. So I'm going to walk you through all of the changes that we've made, as well as the changes we plan to make while moving forward with the process. And I want to make sure you know that the document has not been updated in its entirety. We're working towards that goal. However, before we get too far in, we wanted to bring what we have so far to you in order to make sure that we're actually heading in the right direction and that you know, the direction that you had intended for us to do when you all decided that we should be making these updates. So, there we go. So to say the least, this document was busy. As you may know, it included a lot of items that we as staff felt were not necessarily unnecessary, but did not need to be located within this document and could possibly be located in other places. So we as staff felt that we could handle this document in a different way. So let's look at some ways on how we decided to trim the document down and what items we decided did not necessarily need to be included within this document. As you see here, I have some various pages from chapter 2 of the Master Plan and Guidelines, which is where this document was keeping the large lists and maps of existing markers, monuments, and public art. as well as a smaller section, which was entitled Other Objects. And for many, a lot of people don't know that exists. The Other Objects, that's a small list of various culturally and historically significant objects around Savannah and the county. As staff, we felt that the lists and maps, which are actually ever-changing entities, should actually be kept somewhere in a location in which they would not be required to be shown to you all and then taken to City Council every single time something new got approved and needed to be added to those lists and maps. So we just want to ensure that we can and keep those in a place that is consistently updated and valid if stored within this document. So we determined the best route for moving forward with this chapter 2 of the document was to keep these lists and corresponding maps out of the document. And they are now, well, we are planning to keep them stored here at the MPC, and they are to be updated regularly in real time as the new monuments, markers, public art, murals, etc. are approved by you all. So our chosen way of achieving this was to create a page for each item, that being the monuments, markers, public art, and murals, and to give a short explanation of what these items are. I'm only saying short because all of these items are defined within the glossary section of this document already. And then below that section, we would be placing, you can kind of see it here in red, and this is a section stating that these lists and corresponding maps of all of these proposed, and then, you know, insert item, markers, monuments, public art, are located, are to be kept up to date by staff of the Metropolitan Historic Commission's Historic Preservation Department, and this information is to be stored at the MPC and would be available to public upon request. And so these pages would exist. We would create one, again, for monuments, markers, public art, murals, and other objects as well. And later on, you'll see another one that this page, a version of this page, would be created for. So after we would clean up the lists and the maps, you may remember these pages as well. These kind of strange areas on chapter 8, which is, this is our processes and procedures chapter. So you see this kind of intense flow chart pretty much of the processes. And then behind each page that looks like this, you would see a page that looks like this, which is actually a checklist. So you would see these large confusing charts followed by these checklists. Well, checklists normally here at the MPC are not actually usually stored in a document of this style. You can have your flow charts, yes, but the checklists are usually something created by staff to assist with submittals being brought in. So these checklists are planned to be cleaned up, simplified, and then will be kept here at the MPC and will be available on our website as well. So you can see that here. Let me get down. The checklist would look more like this document here. So now what you would see after those changes were made, like I said, is a cleaned up version of that flowchart, not necessarily getting rid of the flowchart, keeping the process available within the document, but in a cleaner version that makes a little more sense. And then the checklist, like I said, would be cleaned up and formatted like other checklists we have here at the MPC. And again, would be stored here. They would be available on our website for when people are submitting things, they can utilize these checklists. They would not be located within the master planning guidelines anymore. Outside of slimming down the document, we're also going to be adding some things. Some of these things you already know about, and some of them you might not. So some of you may remember the passing of Article E, naming and renaming of public property, facilities, and streets by City Council a while back. This document is now going to be referenced within our master planning guidelines. So much like you saw those other sections being referenced, this will be given its own process sheet with a checklist, which again would be housed here at the MPC and on our website. One other thing not necessarily being added, but more so being cleaned up and given a proper representation within the document is the available public sites portion. We kind of went back and forth on whether or not we needed this. We did determine that it is something that's important to this document and that should be kept. And so this, again, is another thing that would be kept here, and it's available public sites. So again, just kind of a quick description of what it is and its availability to you. So this map of available public sites, like I said, was not updated since 2013. So some of those sites, obviously, at this point in 2020 would not be available, or maybe there were new sites. So we actually did work with specifically Anna Stamatoyanakis, who works with SAGIS here at the MPC, on figuring out which those sites still existed, which new sites may be viable, and we did actually create that map. So that map has been created. And while we're on the topic of maps, we actually did go through and update all of the maps that had not been updated since 2013. And like previously said, those are going to be kept up to date in real time in order for all approved items to exist on those maps, and so that they will be available to the public with that updated data included. So what our goal was showing you this so far is to see if we are truly going in that direction that you wanted us to head down, and to get you all the board's ideas on if you think we have the right idea moving forward. This document as a whole did include very good information. It was a lot of information, and it may not have necessarily been formatted to what staff felt was to the best and clearest it could be. So once we get your input today, we'll know moving forward whether or not we're heading forward in to the final stages and putting everything together in a way that you would like us to. So what we would do after we get your comments today is we would then be able to move forward on finalizing this document, in which we would bring to you at a later meeting as a redlined document, so you can see what was there before, what we have changed. And then after that, it would go for one reading at the Historic Site and Monument Commission. So it's a little different than going to City Council. Here, you would only go through one reading. And if you approve the document at that point to be sent to City Council, it would go through two readings at City Council to then be approved as the new master planning guidelines, the updated version. So I kind of went through that super quick. So if anyone has any questions about what I talked about, I'm more than willing to answer.
Any questions? Comments?
Mr. Chairman, this is Christopher. Yes, I was trying to wait to see if Lisa, do you have any questions? I didn't want to jump in too quick.
I just had a comment. Go ahead, Christopher. Thank you.
I was just going to comment and say, for the time I've been on this commission, I believe it or not, I still have the original binder, and you know, I'm enough of a nerd to actually reference it occasionally. Ryan, I would just say from my perspective, you're spot on. I know this is, you know, maybe a little bit tedious, and it's not necessarily the stuff the general public like pays attention to. But when it comes to actually needing these documents, it's really important, I think. So I just want to commend you. I from my perspective, I think that this is all like perfect. I have one question. That list of the list of markers, monuments, and public art, is there any plan to perhaps make that available online, or is that available online?
That's our plan. Once we have everything put together, we would have these lists, these maps, and everything available here on our website. So you would just go to the Historic Site and Monument Commission's page on our website, and they would be available to you there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay.
Ryan, do you want to
physical version?
Ryan, this is Leah. I'm sorry. Do you want to show our website right now and show one of the local historic district pages and show how the maps, you know, how everything would be presented in the same way?
So like Leah said, it would be very similar to this page you see here. Obviously, it would not have these wordings. But as you see off to the side, there are these linked maps and lists and manuals and things like that. We would just format it to fit what we need it to. So including those lists, including those maps, including portions of possibly the master planning guideline on this page as well.
That's awesome.
Mr. Chairman, this is Lisa. This is fantastic and very exciting. Good job. And I loved chapter 4 with the public sites. That's really interesting. Because a lot of people do ask, like, where could we have a botanical garden? Okay, I asked that. But I think that's really a good thing for the public to know. So thank you.
Mr. Chairman, this is Sean.
Yes, Sean.
All righty. First off, let me start by saying, Brian, great job on this one. I knew that. Thank you. Wonderful. So thank you very much for doing this, Ryan. I definitely like it. I think you were definitely on the right path. I agree with it 100%. Couple of questions for you, though. And it's good that you've got Chapter 4 sites up here. My question, and also the naming and renaming of public property, so on and so forth. My question is, will there be any coordination with greenscapes in including the parks as well in this, or unknown, or what?
So at this point, the available public sites is essentially the same list it always has been of the public sites that are available for it. It mostly was just removal of sites where things have actually occurred on. These are not sites that are 100% available for something to go on. These are just sites that staff found as possible viable options. So what anyone would want, if they're seeing one of these sites, they would have to come to you all to find out if that is actually a viable site. So then we would bring all the other city, essentially, people into play and figure out, can something actually go in this location? This is essentially just a list of possibilities of where something could go, not necessarily where something actually can go. Does that make sense? Is that helping answer your question?
Yes, it does.
So greenscapes would be involved, is what I'm saying. So any department that need to come into play would come into play.
Okay, awesome. And then my second and last question, hope I'm not being too brutal. My second and last question is more so of a clarity, stream of conscious question. So coming from the Park and Tree Commission, there are essentially two websites. There's one that's maintained by Greenscapes, and then there's one that's maintained by Clerk of Council, Mark Massey, and his staff. In theory, yes, they should have the correct information. They should have the same information. Does that same overlap occur with this, with MPC as well? Like, does Clerk of Council have their own MPC page as well that's separate from yours?
This is Leah. No, they do not.
Okay. Thank you. And again, great job, Leah and Ryan.
And just to let you know, that's why we weren't for this naming and renaming portion. We're only going to reference it. We're not actually going to put the ordinance in, because that's right in the city of Savannah's zoning ordinance. So, I mean, in not their zoning ordinance, excuse me, in their code of ordinances. So we're just, that's why we'll only reference it here, so that we're not duplicating their information.
Awesome. Thank you very much for that clarification, Leah.
Tom, do you have any questions?
No, I don't really have any questions. I mean, it seems like the staff is doing, you know, what needs to be done, as far as I can tell. I'm fine.
Okay, thank you. Any further comments or questions? Nina, I'd like to say that this sort of work is as valuable as it is underappreciated. I had to have the catalog guide Georgia Southern redone, and it is tedious, but nothing is more important for people to understand what's going on, and they do fall apart over time, those kinds of documents. So
yes, this is Leah. I have to thank Ryan a lot. He's understating how difficult it's been with the condition some of the GIS data was in and things like that in the maps. That's been complicated. So that's why it's taken us longer than we thought it would, but we are finally getting there. So,
well, it's a very worthwhile thing to do. And Ryan, you've done a great job. Thank you. Any other, there being no other comments, any other business? Being none, I announce that the next regular meeting is December 3rd, 2020 at 4 p.m. This will be a virtual meeting, and it will get together at 4 p.m. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
This is Sean. I make a motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
I second it, Gensheimer.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Okay. Okay. Meeting's adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. We'll see you soon.